You're listening to Marketplace Weekend. I'm David Lazarus, sitting in for Lizzie O'Leary. How much you make has been a hot topic in the news lately. The presidential candidates, they've been talking about a potential minimum wage increase. Cities like Los Angeles and Seattle, they've raised the minimum wage to $15 an hour. And this week, the Securities and Exchange Commission voted to require greater disclosure by companies on how much the boss makes. Or, to put that another way, how little you probably make in comparison. Drew DeSilver is a senior writer at the Pew Research Center. He's here to explore the issue with us. Hiya, Drew.
Hi there. Thanks for having me on.
Let's talk a little bit about what we've been seeing primarily in the fast food industry, this idea of a $15 hourly federal minimum wage. Is that enough?
I think that depends a lot on where you live. $15 means one thing if you live in Manhattan, New York. It means another thing if you live in Manhattan, Kansas. And the cost of living in this country varies so much from place to place that one of the challenges that policymakers have is coming up with a minimum wage level that applies to equally to everyone or is fair to everyone. And it's very, very hard to do. Economists have been researching the minimum wage and the effects on employment and the economy in general pretty much ever since the very first national minimum wage was established 70-odd years ago. And I think it's fair to say that the conclusion is that no one has any consensus. Some economists find tremendous effects. Some economists find small negative effects. Some find small positive effects. Some find no effects at all. And the research is really, I wouldn't say it's all over the map, but it's pretty close to all over the map.
Well, let's look at that $15 figure, which seems to be the talking point now for a federal minimum wage. Why $15? Why not $12? Why not $20? Why not $50?
It could be anything, I suppose. $15 seems to have emerged as the goal for the labor movement. Senator Sanders, of course, has introduced or is introducing legislation to mandate a $15 an hour minimum wage. That would be over twice what the current federal minimum wage is, which is $7.25 an hour, although 29 states and the District of Columbia have mandated their own higher levels within their own states. And several cities have done the same thing.
I've heard from some people who said, well, if people at the lower end get a 100% raise, why don't I get one too?
Well, you might. One of the effects of the minimum wage tends to be as a floor for other wages. And if employers want to maintain the same wage differentials from between the lowest paid employees and higher paid employees, then if the minimum wage goes up, then other wages presumably would go up too.
And what about people who are exempt from a minimum wage, whether it's at the federal or state level?
What we know about those people is that there are several groups that are exempt from the minimum wage, some disabled workers. There's a training wage for young workers, some high school students. But the vast majority of workers who are exempt from the minimum wage are tipped employees, such as servers in restaurants. And there's about 1.1 million of them, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
And do their tips typically bring them up to where a minimum wage worker would be or more?
They're supposed to by law. The law says that you can pay a tipped employee as little as $2.13 an hour as long as their tips bring them up to the minimum wage. If they don't, then the employer has to make up the difference. Now, state laws may vary. States are free to require higher minimums for tipped workers. Many of them do. They have different rules about how to make up the difference. But that's the federal standard that everyone has to at least adhere to.
So if you raise the minimum wage for most workers, will these tipped employees and others who are exempt be affected by that?
That will be entirely up to the lawmakers, whether to extend any raise to tipped employees. There was some debate about that in Maryland, I believe, a few years ago. But it's up. It really is up to the legislators on how they decide to do it.
There's been so much back and forth from all perspectives on the minimum wage. Is there anything in this whole conversation that surprised you?
I guess what surprised me is when I was looking at this is how the real value of the minimum wage varied so much across the country and any wage, really, because I didn't. Living in D.C., you get used to prices being a certain level. It's easy to think, well, everybody pays what I pay, but they really don't. The price levels and the cost of living around the country vary so much from the national average. It's really hard. You really don't realize that until you actually sit down and look at the numbers.
I saw that in Germany, CEOs make about 150 times what their workers make. In Britain, it's about 84, 85 times. In Japan, about 67 times. But really, is there any standard? I mean, how much is too much?
I think there is no standard. There's no governing statute except for the income tax provision that over, I think it's $1 million. Anything over that has to be incentive-based. But other than that, it's up to the whatever the compensation committee of the company decides is appropriate.
So I'm still confused on this. I don't know how much is the correct minimum wage, and I still don't know how much is too much when it comes to CEOs.
Well, welcome to the world of economics.
Drew DeSilver is a senior writer at the Pew Research Center. Drew, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.